God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is based off the words of St. Luke, chapter 23. Let me just start with verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. This is our text. During our Lenten season, we've been picking up the seven last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the cross. Tonight, we pick up sort of the last of it. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Something special and unique was going on, something that was never intended. God dies. And as we consider death, we have to remember that death is the separation of the body from the soul, or spirit if you would like. Please keep in mind that God did not create Adam and Eve that way. When they were created in the garden without sin, they were to live forever. They would not die. But as one of the promises or the threats, so to speak, of disobedience, when sin entered the world, they would not die. Not immediate. They would die. They would not die immediately, but death would come. So God, by design, when he created Adam and Eve, created them to be body and soul together as one, not to be separated. Death is something foreign. It wasn't part of God's plan. It was not part of God's design. Needless to say, it's sort of ripping apart of God's creation when death occurs. And to make matters worse, now our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who is true man and also true God, must undergo that ripping of the soul from the body. If it wasn't painful enough for our Lord and Savior to endure everything he had to endure up until the cross, the flogging, the nailing, being crucified, this was probably the worst. The ripping of the soul from the body. Needless to say, when we have the death of a loved one occur in our lives, there is a lot of grief. There is that separation. Part of us is sort of attached to that loved one, and now we're thinking that person is now missing. And if we've ever had a real close loved one die, you know, part of you is also ripped, so to speak, with that event. So Christ was ripped apart with his spirit in order to taste death. God died. I know it's kind of hard to understand and to fathom, but this is what scriptures give to us. God being still true man, man now being separated from the soul and the body by death, but yet still remaining true God. Talk about the violence. It wasn't supposed to occur that way ever, but yet it occurred. I don't know about you, but if you've ever broken something like a cup or a mug, you know, you can kind of glue it back together again. I've done it myself on a couple times. Amazing thing, something like super glue. However, the death of a loved one or the death of our Savior is not so easy to super glue back together again. It is, that's why I like using the example, sort of a ripping apart. A ripping that cannot be glued back together again. And so our Savior in tonight's text says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Noting that ripping apart of God's intention of humanity is going to take place. Our Savior undergoes death for us. We were not designed to die, but because of sin, we are to die. However, our Savior wants to restore that humanity. He doesn't restore that humanity with some super glue, but instead he restores humanity by allowing he himself to be ripped apart in death, yet without sin. So that through his death, we would have life. Even though death is that violent separation of the body from the spirit, Jesus knows where that spirit is going, into God the Father's hands. And it is into the Father's hands, so to speak. Because of Jesus Christ, he remolds us, reshapes us. He recreates us. We know as Christians, based upon God's word, that this physical death is not the final word. There is a resurrection of the dead. We will have that spiritual glorified body. Just like in a couple days when the church will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with great fanfare, we also know that will be us. We will be recreated, not into another life form, because some religions teach the concept of reincarnation. If reincarnation was true, it wouldn't be a gospel message. To be reincarnated into another life form would mean we'd have to experience this ripping of death again. That's not very fair, is it? Christ does not want us to experience this ever. But because of sin, we have to experience it once, unless he comes again first. Reincarnation takes away that gospel message. It takes away that spiritual glorified body. So if anyone ever asks you, do Christians believe in reincarnation? Say no. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, where God will reattach us back to our body. Not the same physical body, but will give us a new spiritual glorified body. It will still be us, but a little different. The gospel delivers us from this veil of tears. Reincarnation just keeps repeating the veil of tears over and over again. The gospel, however, brings us to eternal life, to paradise, perfect peace with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So now we have a God who not only created us, not only redeems us by putting us back together again because our faith and trust in our Lord's resurrection, but he also keeps us in the faith. It's very important to be kept in this faith. Otherwise, we will not be in paradise. So he keeps us in this faith, because the body may die only once. It seems that God wants to keep us to be with him in heaven above. He doesn't want us to be destroyed or ripped apart. But unfortunately, while we're still here on earth, our world of sin still gnaws at us. Sometimes our spirit is grieved and sort of ripped apart a little bit because of the sin and suffering of this world. This world is still suffering from the grips of sin. Even though we have a Savior who dies on the cross to restore humanity, this world and this first body we have still suffer the effects of sin. So when we experience the death of a loved one, we experience grief. We experience grief in many other ways. How many of us are concerned right now about the economy? We worry. Not that we can do much about it. When violence and war continues in our world, when we see the expense of this as human life and much resources, our soul again grieves. We may see pain in the workplace, pain at home, suffering in our daily life. This again was not how God intended it. Our soul continues to grieve, even though we may not be at the end of our physical life. This world has its own way of sin, of sort of ripping the soul from us. We feel that inner pain. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm speaking of. And our Savior has an answer. It is with when those events occur in our lives, we, like Jesus, need to turn to our Heavenly Father, pick up His final word from the cross, and say, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." To realize that our soul, our whole being, our trust needs to be in the Father's hands. This is not suicide, but trust in God's saving promises. You see, when our spirit is grieved, we need to realize that we are ultimately in God's hands. God, who is the one who created us, who redeems us, and keeps us in the faith. God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." God understands how our soul is grieved this side of heaven while we're still in this physical life, and He provides comfort. As Jesus understands this comfort, so He reminds us, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." So to whom do you turn to when your soul is grieved? Do you turn to your Heavenly Father? Or do you turn to yourself, to the world, to the things around you? The things around you, the world, yourself, does not satisfy. There's only one who saves, one who created, one who redeems, one who keeps you. One who understands what it means to have your soul ripped from your body. Into your hands, we commit our spirit. We have a God who cares for us. And through His death, we also have other comfort. For when we were baptized, we may remember we were baptized into His death. As Romans reminds us in chapter 6, He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were also therefore baptized into His resurrection." God also heals our wounded soul again through His death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are reminded, as Paul reminds us, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," referring to the Lord's Supper, "you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Our Lord's death is a way of encouragement. It's a way of strength. Yes, there's a point of grief to it, but we also see where our Savior is trying to redirect us to, into the Father's hands. The Father's hands who will reshape us, remold us, and give us strength. That is why it is through His death, as He gives up His spirit, we also need to encourage one another with these words. It may sound kind of strange. Who would encourage one another with words of death? But as Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Into your hands, we commit our spirit, the perfect place to be. It's interesting, at this point, there is a shift. Many of us may remember from our catechism days in the Apostles' Creed, the second article, it's sort of split into two halves. You have the steps of the humiliation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then you have the steps of exaltation. Humiliation is when He takes on human flesh and blood. He does not fully use His divinity. But now, after he gives up his spirit. Christ's state of humiliation comes to an end. He is now in the state of exaltation, of fully being God, fully using what he was and is to be, true man and true God. Christ's state of humiliation is now over. Likewise, in our own lives, when it seems like our own soul is being grieved to the point of death, and our own lives are being pulled apart, like our Savior, we need to entrust our spirit into our Heavenly Father, knowing He will take care of us. He has overcome sin, death, and the devil. His exaltation begins, and because His exaltation begins, that is where our strengthening comes from. Jesus uses these words, as the psalmist also uses these words for us. From Psalm chapter 31, verse 5, these words are based. As the psalmist says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And the psalmist then continues, "You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." So as we conclude these seven last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us remember where Christ is directing us toward. The love, the grace that comes from the loving Father. And as the psalmist says, "You have redeemed me." No truer words have been said. Through Christ's death upon the cross, you have been redeemed. So we have no other safer place but the Holy Gospel to entrust ourselves, our spirit, our souls, for all eternity. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.